Good evening, everyone. It is Monday night, March 2nd, 2020, and you are listening to Monday's Magical Mystics on the Sacred Embers Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's hosts are DC Love and Shannon Johnson, and we have a very special guest tonight with us, Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. Mark Anthony is also known as the Psychic Explorer. He's a fourth-generation psychic medium who communicates with spirits. He is also a successful attorney, licensed to practice law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. Mark graduated from Mercer Law School with honors, which include the study of law at Oxford University in England. He has also studied mediumship in England at the Arthur Findlay College for the Advancement of Psychic Science. He is the best-selling author of Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity. Mark appears nationwide on TV and radio. He recently appeared on the CBS hit show The Doctors, and he is a featured speaker at conferences, expos, and universities, including Brown, Columbia, Harvard, and Yale, and in 2019 is on the nationwide speaking tour. So we'd like to welcome on air psychic lawyer Mark Anthony.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. And, you know, the 2019 tour is now the 2020 Visionary Tour, and that's what we're calling it. And what's really exciting about this is I just returned from Houston and was able to make connections for many wonderful people there. And this weekend, March 7th, I'll be at the United Metaphysical Church of the Palm Beaches, where I'll be conducting an evening of spirit communication. That's on March 7th, this Saturday. And then on March 21st, I'll be in Burbank, California, to conduct an evening of spirit communication at the Marriott Los Angeles Burbank Airport Hotel. Okay, so basically it's the Marriott at the Burbank Airport because they have a really wonderful space, and it's also going to be a red carpet event because there's going to be a lot of people in the TV industry there as well. So these are just the next two events. And then if I could for a second, I've been very honored to be asked to be the keynote speaker at Helping Parents Heal annual conference, which is going to be in April in Charleston, South Carolina. And that organization is helping, obviously, parents cope with the loss of their children, which is the most devastating loss anyone can endure. So the 2020 Visionary Tour is in full swing, and it looks like between now and the end of the year, I'm going to be pretty busy from coast to coast.
How exciting.
Yes, that's truly amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, this
so we
is DC.
Nice-
Again, it's an honor to have you with us. I've been, you know, watching you and watching different, you know, shows that you've appeared on and everything. And from what I understand, both of your parents had psychic abilities, mediumship abilities.
Yes.
Yeah, and how old were you when you realized that you had these abilities?
The funny thing about that is it started as soon as I can remember. And actually, I've been very blessed being able to remember things from very early childhood. And my earliest memory in life, I was sitting in a high chair, and I was banging on, you know, the little table that you have in the high chair. I was banging on that. And my parents were leaning over, talking to me, telling me how much they loved me. I mean, that's my first memory. And, and when I look back on that, it's like, wow. I mean, that's really awesome. And then when I was about 3 1/2, I started talking to and interacting with my invisible friends. And the thing is, though, my parents could also see them. So they realized, oh, my gosh, he got it. I'll never forget. My mother goes, he's got it. And my dad goes, he's got it, you know, because they came from very different backgrounds, although they were both mediums. And my mother was very excited that I had this ability. My dad, it's not that he was upset about it. He just knew how difficult that it can be, how people, you know, vilify you and make fun of you and think we're doing something, some ridiculous demonic work or something like that. So at 3.5, I was able to interact and perceive with spirits. And then when I was not too long after my 4th birthday, I had a near-death experience where I actually went into respiratory failure. And anyway, that's quite an involved story. But it was pretty exciting, actually. I mean, it's exciting now when I look at it. At the time, it wasn't. I had a very, very high fever, and I was very sick. And I developed what's known as septicemia, which is a blood infection. And all of a sudden I stopped breathing, and my mother ran outside in front of our house because my dad wasn't home and started screaming, "Oh, my God, my baby's dying." And my brother ran across the street, and he was banging on the door because there was a fireman that lived across the street, and my brother noticed that his car was there. And so the fireman ran across, and he started, you know, doing compressions on me, and he got me breathing. And meanwhile, my sister had called an ambulance, and so when the ambulance arrived, they got me into the ambulance. And actually what had happened is the fireman threw me in his car with my mom, and he hauled butt because he knew he was on the radio with the ambulance, and he intercepted them. And so they were in this parking lot, and they put me in the ambulance. Mom jumps in the ambulance with them. But unfortunately, what they didn't realize in everybody's panic, the ambulance door slammed shut on the oxygen hose. So now they're zooming towards we were living in Orlando, Florida at the time. They're headed to the ambulance was headed to Orange Memorial Hospital. My oxygen supply got cut off. And I remember the paramedic said, "He's not breathing, we're losing him." And the next thing I knew, I was catapulted right out of the ambulance. And I'm looking down on it, and I'm seeing it driving away with numbers on the top of the ambulance. And I'm thinking, you know, and I was 4. And the thing is, I could read by the time I was about 4. And I was like, why are there numbers on the top of the ambulance? And the next thing I knew, I was in this place. It was really, like, amazing. And these beings came forward. They looked like the outlines of people, but they were translucent. And they were very sweet and very kind, and they were telling me not to worry. And then I went beyond that into a more intense light. And I encountered – the only way I can describe this is this was God. And I think even the word God is too limiting. And then the next thing, I feel this electrical shock go through my body, and I'm hearing clear. And what had happened is they hit me with the defibrillator paddles. But while I was having the NDE, the paramedic said, "We got to get the hose. The hose is caught in the door," and they're going like 90 miles, almost 100 miles an hour. And there, my mom says, "I'll do it." So he's holding on to like a beam inside of the van, and he's got his hand on my mom's waistband, and she pries the ambulance door open, gets her foot, grabs the oxygen hose. Then they got oxygen back, but my heart had stopped, and then they hit me with the defibrillator paddles, and next thing I knew, it shocked me out of this, you know, this other world that I was in and brought me back. And so by the time I was 4, I'd almost died twice. I was born, I wasn't breathing, and they resuscitated me. And then when I was, then I started seeing spirits, and then I had the NDE. So for me, the afterlife and spirit communication and interfacing with spiritual entities is just so organic to me that, you know, that's what I've always done.
Wow,
amazing.
That is...
You know, my poor mom, you know, I mean, it's like she had just, you know, my dad was away on a business trip, and, you know, they thought I was just, you know, that I was sick, and, you know, she had me in a bath to bring down my fever, and next thing she knows, I you know, basically die on her. And, my mother, I was very honored to have the parents that I did, both of them being mediums, both of them being extremely interesting people. And when people hear DC and Shannon that you're from a family of psychics, you know, they think that, you know, we're riding around in a caravan with neon signs going fortune teller here. We were not. My father was
right.
A U.S. Navy SEAL. Okay, Navy SEALs are about as serious as it gets. And after he left the Navy, he worked in aerospace, and he was a NASA engineer. And my mother had been actually when she was a young woman, she was always very fashionable. She was a model. She was a model for, you know, for clothes and stuff like that. And then she was a fashion illustrator. And so we were very much a mainstream type of family. And it's funny because, like, everybody in the neighborhood kind of knew stuff about us. So I always say, like, we were the weird family, but kind of the cool weird family, you know. So anyway, but you asked, you know, what was it like? When did this start happening? I mean, this has been going on for me since I can remember, and in my family for at least four generations. I've tracked it back into the 1890s on both sides of the family.
Wow.
Beautiful.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Did you always feel drawn to working in the law, or was there another career potential that had your heart first?
Interestingly enough, I wanted to go into the clergy. Even though my dad was raised in the Baptist religion, it's a funny story, but my mother's family was of Italian descent. And before he had to ask my grandfather's permission to marry my mother, you know, and, you know, because that's how it was. My grandfather was actually from Italy, and it was very formal, and marriage was a very big deal. It still is, and it should be. And my grandfather said, if you love my genie, you must have become a Catholic. My dad's like, what? You know, and so, but he did, according to both of them. He went through the whole, and, you know, and the thing about being Catholic, it's like being Jewish, you know what I mean? It's such a hassle. Unless you're born it, don't do it, you know. You know, it's like, you know, hey, you know, becoming a Lutheran or a Methodist, hey, no problem, you know. But, you know, we have all these rules and traditions and things. But as a young boy, I went to Catholic school, and I was always drawn toward the spiritual, which DC and Shannon is not an unusual thing for mediums, you know, because we're drawn to spirituality and we like helping people, and that we, you know, we feel that we have that as a part of our purpose in life, and so I really thought that that was going to be the path that I was going into, but I started to feel that it was too constricting, too many rules, too many regulations. I admire all the religions. I've spent my life studying theology, philosophy, archaeology, history, quantum physics, and I don't believe that any one religion is the be-all, end-all. I think that we have to look at all of them, and I think that when people get into this, well, there's one and only way to heaven, and you know, there's one and only way, and there's this and that, and you know, the Muslims believe, you know, unless you do that, then you're an infidel, and the Christians believe unless you accept this, and the Jews believe that, you know, this, and so on and so forth. And what this does is, instead of uniting people, which is the point of spirituality, because we're all the children of God, it turns into the us versus they syndrome, and then that causes all this unnecessary divisiveness. So I thought that there was too many rules and regulations in the clergy, so I ended up going to law school, which certainly has more than its fair share of rules and regulations.
Yeah, and so that brings us to our next question for you, which is, how did you come to integrate your dual careers and, you know, how do they ever conflict with each other, and how have you found that they enhance one another? I know that's a loaded question there.
You know, no, it's a great question. Oh, and I just wanted to go on the record. I'm going to go on the record to let people know that, because a lot of times people call in with legal questions, and I understand that. But the thing is, I am pursuing my work as a medium full-time now. However, I'm still licensed in Florida, Washington, D.C., U.S. Supreme Court, and I appear on shows like this, radio shows and television shows, oftentimes as a legal analyst. In fact, I was just invited to be on Court TV when I'm in Atlanta on the 2020 Visionary Tour in June. Not to talk about me as a medium, but to discuss whatever the case of the day is. So I'm looking forward to that, and certainly I have a lot of respect for our legal our system of law. The way the legal system works sometimes leaves a lot to be desired. But as far as I'm concerned, the two professions don't conflict, although it gives the impression that they do. People think that lawyers are blood-sucking, vampiric, parasitic monsters that, kill, crush, destroy. And the problem is that the profession is loaded with people like that. The legal profession tends to attract aggressive and domineering people because that's what it is. But that's not what the objective of our system of law is. But on the more enlightened side of law, we're here to help people. We're here to help people through the most difficult and devastating events in their life. You lose a loved one, you've been injured, you've been in some type of accident, you've been arrested or a family member has, or you've been taken advantage of, people are trying to take money from you, so we have to defend and protect their rights. And we have to do that through zealous representation and also by producing evidence to substantiate our case. And as an evidential medium, I have to produce evidence transmitted to me from spirits to validate the authenticity of the contact. So both professions are about helping people. Both professions are about evidence. So from my perspective, I draw upon one to assist me with the other and vice versa.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you know what, Mark? When I was reading your title the first time I connected, I'm like, psychic and, lawyer. Wow, that's like a lot. And I don't think I know anyone else that is actually a psychic lawyer.
Yeah, as far as I know, I'm the only one. I've met attorneys who say that they're intuitives and this and that, but there's nobody that is doing what I'm doing, and there's nobody in my position. So it's funny because the media nicknamed me the psychic lawyer. And it's funny because, when people are criticizing me, they go, well, he calls himself. No, I didn't call myself this. I was nicknamed this. And then it stuck. So I thought, all right, well, let's go with it, and I went ahead and copyrighted it. So I thought, all right, fine. So that's my brand. But then I started getting called the Psychic Explorer and the Psychic Indiana Jones, certainly, which I'm not opposed to, because throughout my life, with my interest in religion, I've also had an interest in archaeology, history, mysticism, and so I've traveled all over the world to mystical and spiritual sites to examine them, to study them. I love going to places like the British Museum and the Louvre and the Vatican Museum, and then when I was in Central America, spending time at the archaeological sites, same thing when I was in Peru, Machu Picchu and Sacsayhuaman and Cuzco, and then in Southeast Asia, I've been to several temples and archaeological sites, and nothing makes me happier than being able to be immersed in that type of history. It's just so fascinating, and along the way, I've been to some pretty off the beaten path places and had some, I guess you would call them adventures, some a lot of fun and some pretty life-threatening. So this one media outlet nicknamed me the Psychic Indiana Jones, and I'm like, well, there's certainly a lot worse things to be called.
So oh, definitely. True. And when you said exciting, I mean, Mark, you really mean exciting, because I know that you've been to the Amazon and you watched an exorcism.
I did. I write about that in my book, Never Letting Go, but I'll be happy to share that with your listeners. I was on a photographic expedition, and we're in the Peruvian Amazon. It's funny when people go, oh, the Amazon's not in Peru. It's like, yeah, it is, because the Andean, the Andes Mountains, they have glaciers that melt, and, gee, what are the headwaters of the Amazon, okay? Plus, Peru, people don't realize how big Peru is. I mean, normally when we look at a map of South America, you see how big Brazil is. But Peru is the size of Spain, France, England, and Germany combined. I mean, it's a big piece of real estate. And, you know, you've got the Andes, and then you got the jungle of the Peruvian, the Amazon basin. And so we went to this city called Iquitos. And Iquitos can only be reached by air or by boat. I don't know if they have any roads or railways going to it now, but certainly when I was there, they didn't. And then from Iquitos, we departed on this research vessel called La Esmeralda. And La Esmeralda was cool. It was just this clankety old boat. It had about there was about 30 people on it altogether, about a dozen crew and about as many passengers, you know, give or take. And, you know, within about 8 hours of leaving Iquitos, electricity, running water, and all that was a thing of the past. I mean, we were encountering villages that were essentially just, you know, grass huts, no running water, no electricity, no electric lights. And, you know, we'd stop and we'd go out and we'd go on jungle hikes and things. It was really cool. So we're chugging up this up the Ucayali, which is a branch of the Amazon, and all of a sudden all these canoes come up the boat, you know, our guide spoke English, Spanish, and Quechua, and so they were talking to the Indians and the indigenous folks in the boat, and they said that El Brujo is in the village. And I know enough Spanish where I was like, El Brujo, that means like, you know, the witch doctor. And they said, and he wants you, and they're all looking at me, he talks to ghosts. And they're all looking at me, and they talks to ghosts. And a friend of mine goes, is that like Dances with Wolves? You know, and so we're laughing. And what had happened was, you know, as we went along, apparently gossip spreads just as fast in the Amazon as it does anywhere else, because it got along, you know, up the whole river before we got there, that there was a medium on this boat. So anyway, the boat navigates up to this village, and then we take the skiff, if you will, over to the land. We get off, and a bunch of the passengers didn't want to go, so it was only about me and about four other people. And it's about 100 natives there, and they're real friendly, they're real nice and all that. And so we go up to this hut, and we go into the hut, and there's this woman lying like on this grass mat, face down on the ground, and it looked like it was her husband with her and her mom. And there's this little fire, and the brujo, I was expecting a guy with like chicken bones in his nose and stuff like that and feathers, but he was wearing a t-shirt and pants, and he was wearing like a baseball cap, you know, but he was the witch doctor, and everyone gave him this like huge, you know, ooh, the witch doctor, El Brujo. And so we go into this hut, and then I start freaking out, going, you know, because I don't believe in the devil and demonic possession and all that, you know, paranoid primitive superstition. Mm-hmm. But then all that paranoid primitive superstition started welling up in me, thinking, well, what if there is, you know, because I remember seeing the movie The Exorcist, and I'm like, oh, no, you know. And, you know, and then all of a sudden I got hold of myself. But one of the guys with me was an orthopedic surgeon, and he's looking at this woman. He goes, I've seen this before. He goes, that woman has a herniated disc in her back. And what it is, the natives, you know, if you looked at her, she was fine, but she had this pain they couldn't explain, so they assumed that she was possessed by a devil. So El Brujo starts pouring all these liquids on her back and then licking them off and slurping them up, and he spits this huge glob in his hand. And I remember it was, like, really gross. And the surgeon's wife, she's like, oh, that's simply dreadful. I mean, it was kind of funny, but, you know, it wasn't, because we're in this hut, you know, this fire, and it's getting dark outside, and there's no electric lights, you know. And he flings this goo that he just spit out of his mouth into the fire, and it's all sputtering and all this and that. And he goes, I am casting the day. And he's speaking, I think he spoke Aymara, and he was explaining this to our guide who was translating to us. And he was performing this ritual like we're at Harvard Med School watching a surgeon conducting a surgery for a class, and he's explaining what he's doing. And then all of a sudden he looks up at me and he says, are the demons gone, talks to ghosts. And now everyone's looking at me. And outside of this hut, there's all these people looking in. There's like 100 natives. And on my other side was a botanist. And she's smiling and clenching her teeth. And I can't say this on what she exactly said on the air, but you can imagine. She goes, Mark, don't screw this up. She didn't use the word screw, okay? So you can figure out like this, you know? Because we're like, man, this is turning like one of those old Johnny Weissmuller Tarzan movies, and, you know, like we're not the good guys. And so I say there are no demons here. Because it wasn't. It was a herniated disc. And like El Brujo was happy and the woman was happy. And then he goes, I will prevent the demons from coming back. And so he whips out this clump of herbs. And the botanist goes, oh, dear God. And I go, what? She goes, that is the Amazonian version of poison ivy. And I'm like, what? And he starts whipping her back with it. And so we're watching this poor lady with all these red welts forming on her back, and she's screaming, and he's explaining she will feel better in a week. And I'm like, well, she couldn't feel worse, you know. And so what the orthopedic surgeon said, he goes, well, of course she'll feel better. She'll be in agonizing pain, and then when the swelling goes down, the pain that she had from the herniated disc will still be there, but she won't think it's as bad. And we're like, oh, so they had this whole procedure. And so when this was done, you know, we're like, oh, thank you for having us. And I remember getting back on the skiff and heading out into the deeper part of the river to get back to La Esmeralda. And it was very interesting, but it's the thing is, and I don't think that the people would have hurt us or anything, but, you know, we were in the middle of nowhere. Nobody knew we were there. And the last thing you ever want to do in a situation like that is offend somebody or their religious beliefs. And for those people, that demonic possession and what El Brujo was doing was very real. And so you have to respect that. You know, if you go in there like, oh, this is a bunch of poppycock, you know, and start giving that type of attitude, you know, things can go very differently.
Very true.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yes, that was amazing. Yes. Wow.
Wow. Oh, what an experience.
Yeah, it was a trip. I mean, I've had a number of very interesting experiences and meeting people throughout the world. And, you know, I've been in Russia back when it was communist. And since we're telling war stories, as it were. I was only a kid then. I was like 17, and you know, I was a smart alecky teenager. I mean, find a 17-year-old boy who isn't, okay? And so we're in Moscow, and I was already in a college program, and we had this guide, and we used to, you know, a friend of mine and I, we nicknamed him the product of the state. You know, because everything was Russia this and Soviet Union good and America bad and blah, blah, blah. He's going on and on and on. And we're sitting through a government lecture. Okay, and I was always good with government studies and history. And he's talking about Soviet constitution and basic rights that are guaranteed. So I go, hold on a second. He looks at me, yes, Mark, what is it now? And I said, you're telling me you would have us believe that the Soviet Constitution and the American Constitution both have freedom of speech, right? Isn't that what you're saying here? And he like had enough of me, you know, and he walked over and he leaned right into my face, goes, American boy, difference between Soviet Constitution and American Constitution is not freedom of speech. It is freedom after you make speech. And then I'm like, oh. And then it was like, okay, I got that message loud and clear. And it was like, okay, not another word.
Wow, that's amazing. My goodness. You have had such an amazing journey. Goodness, it's just, it's so wonderful to hear, you know, so many things. I just, you know, did you pick this? Do you think you picked this journey for yourself? Maybe your ancestors. You've had like such an amazing journey for one person. I feel like you've lived enough lifetimes for 10 people at least.
Well, I mean, that's nice to say, but everybody does. You know, it's just I've made certain choices in my life because I wanted. I've always wanted to explore. I've always wanted to examine other cultures. I've spent my life engaging in the study of God. You know, I've spent time with Hindus and Buddhists and Native Americans, and I could go on and on. You know, various Christians and Muslims, understanding how people perceive God. And the one thing I can say is there simply is not enough time in one lifetime to do everything that you would like. But you don't have to go on these adventures across the globe to have an interesting or a full life. And, you know, for people that are parents, if you're a good parent, there is no more important and loftier and noble undertaking than that. I mean, to raise human beings from infancy to adulthood and to do a good job at it and to make all the economic and personal sacrifices that come with being a parent, to be a teacher in a school system, to be a police officer. I mean, just to be a person who is interacting with other people on a daily basis is very important. And what we all have to realize is that at some point in our life, or at many points in our life, we're going to be that sympathetic ear on the bus or on the train or sitting on the bench, you know, where somebody, some perfect stranger, may just start talking to you and telling what his or her woes are, and you actually dignify that person by listening and validating them. You know, and when that person walks away, you don't know if you gave them the validation and the approval that he or she needed to not go home and take their own life because they were depressed or sad. So we all have our parts to play, although we don't always realize how significant they are. And everybody matters and everybody counts.
Definitely. I agree.
Oh, yes. Very much so. And you have to stay in that place of integrity with this kind of work.
Well, we do, and it's not easy. I mean, social media is a wonderful thing, but like all inventions, it's a double-edged sword. And social media gives a lot of cowards the chance to be bullies. I mean, I bet you get, both of you get this, or your mediums. People start writing, mediums are not a god, and they start, you know, I call it the salad bar approach to religion. They pick and choose what lines and verses to sling at you, because there's plenty of lines and verses throughout the Bible that justify what we're doing as a gift from God. But oh no, they don't want to hear that. And then there's the people who aren't really skeptics. They say they are, but they're cynics, because their mind is closed and they refuse to be open. And so they write and say and mock us and do terrible things and say that you know, we're doing some evil work. I mean, some lady said, just because it makes people feel good doesn't mean it's from God. And it's like, is that about the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
Yes.
So if I got the holy drill of Antioch and drilled a hole through my hand because it's the holy drill, then that's a good thing, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. We have several team members as well who work on missing persons cases and things like that. Do you have any advice for any mediums out there that are drawn to this type of work based on your experience and as well as being a lawyer, how they can navigate that venue a little bit easier, perhaps?
Well, it's very tricky when you're working on cold cases, because you know people also have a misconception about psychics and mediums. First off, they think oh, we're all knowing, all seeing. We should see everything. We should know everything. Oh, we should have seen that coming. You have to realize that what we do is we're reading energy, and we're picking up information transmitted to us from spirits, or we're reading energy, residual energy at a place, like, you know, murder scene or something like that. And we get impressions and information. Also, be very careful about jumping to conclusions. Get the facts down. Get what you are receiving down. But don't immediately jump to conclusions. Also, it's difficult when you're working with family members of someone who's missing or who has been murdered, because sometimes, certainly they're in a lot of pain, and we have to be very understanding to empathetic toward their plight and toward their pain. But sometimes they're not the most cooperative people. Everything's no, 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 no. Or they're not making the dots, or they're in such a profound state of grief that they are not listening or blocking, they're blocking the information. I mean, I was doing a reading in a cold case, and this guy said, you know, I said, well, there's a woman coming through. She says, are you her father? He said, no, he was her father. He was playing games with me. He said he was her uncle, okay? And then I said something about, well, she's talking about her left hand. No, no, no. Are you sure? Well, she was left-handed. Okay, well, then why'd you say no? And because she's talking about your heart and your heart health. No, 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 no. She's really strong on this. Well, I have an artificial heart valve. And it's like, I realized the guy was playing games with me. And I'm thinking, okay, so I've been called in to help, and you're playing games with me. And so we wasted so much time. And then at one point he goes, you know, how do you know these things? I said, well, you'd be getting a lot more if you weren't playing games and you weren't shooting everything down. Okay, because, you know, I'll get a piece of information and present it, and he's telling me no, and the answer should be yes. And so that can be very, very difficult. So for aspiring mediums who are aspiring to go into this line of work, you've got to be very patient with the recipients of the information, because they're not always very cooperative. And it's not and like the situation that I'm describing is rather extreme. A lot of times they either don't know or they're so upset they're not thinking clearly. And so that can happen too. I remember you remember Sylvia Brown, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. For the benefit of the listeners, Sylvia Brown was a very famous psychic medium. She died, that was been about 10 years almost, I would think. At least five, but I think more like 10. And she used to be on the Montel Williams show, and Sylvia would give these rapid-fire readings to people. Okay, and that was part of the problem, is that she would jump to conclusions about things. Okay, and the media ripped her apart because I think it was Amanda Berry. Amanda Berry had been kidnapped along with two other women and kept by this guy in the basement of his house for like years. I mean, the guy was like a major creep. And so Sylvia Brown was doing a reading for the mother, and she said, well, you know, the next time you'll see your daughter is on the other side. And she said, I think the guy is Cuban, and she's being kept under a house, like her body's under the house. Well, the mother was very distraught. This was on TV, and the media totally blasted Sylvia Brown when Amanda Berry was found alive and well. Okay, but here's what happened. The mother died maybe almost a year after that TV show, and died before Amanda Berry was rescued. So Sylvia was right. The next time the woman will see her daughter will be on the other side. Number two, the guy was keeping them in the basement of his house. Number three, he was Latino, but he wasn't Cuban, although his name was Castro. Okay? Because the media was ripping her apart, and I went and I pulled the entire interview and watched it from start to finish. Well, the way things are transmitted to us if you see an image of Castro or Cuba, Cuba could mean Castro, or an image of Castro could mean something Cuban. Okay, sometimes, you know, we'll get a direct feed, a direct statement. Other times you receive an impression that evokes a connection to a cultural reference that is within our mind.
Right.
Yes, Amanda was underneath the house, but she was alive. The problem is Sylvia used to jump really quickly to conclusions. And I'm not faulting her because, you know, I met her. And she did a reading on me, and she was good. She was good. Okay, but I knew how to respond, and I, you know, I was connecting the dots quickly. So mm-hmm. that's what when for people who are going to do this work, be patient. Don't jump to conclusions. Stick to what you're getting, and realize that a lot of times it's going to require reflection after the reading to put everything together.
So true. So true. I always try to remind clients, you know, just if it doesn't resonate right now, just make a note of it, because sometimes it's like a couple months later that all of a sudden it's you get reminded of something and there it is. It starts falling into place when in the session they're like, I don't know, I'm lost.
Well, you get a lot of that. It's so funny. I was on a this one television program, and I was doing readings for the audience, and this poor lady, she stands up, and her adult son had passed, and he came through, and I said, cross. Give me the name or the word cross. Cross. No, no, no. Are you sure I'm getting cross? No. And we're coming up to a station break. So during the station break, her husband, who's sitting next to her in the audience, he goes, well, our last name is Cross. Okay.
Oh,
so I said, you mean like your son's name? And they're giving me this look like, oh. So when we went back on air, the host of the show goes, so you realized during the break that your name is Cross, and Mark kept saying, does the name or the word Cross make sense? And you kept saying, no, but that's your name, right? Like, yeah. And they're like, well, keep going. And the host goes, well, Mark, why don't you go to somebody else? You know, and the thing is, it's easy to laugh at people like that and say, like, gosh, you know, does the word duh mean anything to you? But you don't want to do that because, number one,
right. They
were on television, all right, and they were terrified. There's cameras, there's lights, there's strangers, and so they were nervous. Secondly, these people don't engage in spirit communication on a daily basis. Although if you're getting a reading and the medium who doesn't know you, like I didn't know them, says your name, it really helps if you say, well, that's my name, you know. So that was a bit of an extreme example, but it can really be frustrating if people can't even recognize, you know, their own name or acknowledge it. I mean, I was doing a session for this young lady, and she came to see me with her grandmother. And I said, does that make sense? And the grandmother goes, I can't hear you because I didn't bring my hearing aids. I didn't think I'd need them. And the young lady goes, I don't know, I wasn't paying attention. And I'm like, so why are you here for a reading if you're not going to pay attention and you forgot your hearing aids? Okay, so you have to show some respect to the medium. Actually pay attention. That really helps during a reading if you pay attention. And secondly, if you need hearing aids, please bring them. And with batteries, you know, so they're like work. And the thing is, I don't mean to sound facetious, but that's very difficult in our jobs when people just don't use basic common sense.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
so
definitely.
Agree with you there. You ready to take a caller?
Sure, be happy to.
Wonderful. All right. We've got quite a lineup listening in tonight, and so we're going to just get a couple in here real quick. We're going to go 2-3-2-1. Hi, 3-2-1. You're on the air. Would you like to ask Mark a question?
Yes. Hi, this is Daria. Thank you for taking my call. Mark, this is a fascinating interview. Oh, my gosh. I'm just riveted to this whole thing. So, you know, thank you for being on the air tonight. I don't know if I had a – well, actually, you know, maybe there's a few things weighing on my mind, but I'll stick to one. I don't know if you can help me with this, but I'm a ghostwriter, among other things, and I have been so stuck on this one client's project that's been dragging on forever, and I don't know what is wrong, why I can't get beyond this. And I don't know, I just wondered if maybe I could get some guidance with that.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let me see if there's any spirits around you, because that's more of a psychic question than it is a mediumistic question. So
sure,
let me see if there's a spirit around. Okay, I'm picking up on a female energy. Looks like she's two generations back. Could be a grandparent or like a great aunt. And she's coming through. And what I'm getting with her, she keeps talking about typhoid, or excuse me, sounds like thyroid. Excuse me, thyroid. So
wow.
Okay, that making sense to you?
I absolutely. My thyroid is fine, but I had a thyroid storm and was in the hospital like a year and a half ago because I was on thyroid medication that I shouldn't have been on, that was prescribed
okay.
to me. So maybe
okay.
that's what
All
she's
right.
picking up.
Yeah, that's what she's telling me, so that's an identifier about her. Also, this woman very well may have also had thyroid issues, which may indicate that this is a genetic condition that runs in your family. Okay, and it feels to me
okay.
that she is coming through like your father's side of the family. So this could be a paternal grandmother or paternal great aunt, because like I said, she's two generations back. So let me see. The other thing is, what's with you and do you like Red Hots, like those Red Hot cinnamon candies? Or is there something about you and like, you know, that those spicy cinnamon candies? I keep tasting those. Is there something
well, no,
about you?
I,
you love
I
them or hate them?
No, I never eat them. I'm very low carb, so I stay away from candy. If I choose, it would be chocolate. I don't know.
Oh,
that's
well, no. Hold on. Before we go to no, okay, write
okay.
down the spicy cinnamon thing, because what I may be getting is not necessarily the Red Hots, but it could be something about spicy food or spicy peppers that you like, and it can also be the spice cinnamon. Like, for example, cinnamon is used in controlling blood sugar levels. So I don't know if blood sugar is an issue with you. Okay. And that doesn't mean start taking it, because, you know, you need to check that with your doctor. And also with the spicy stuff, like jalapenos and cayenne pepper, that could be an issue, like you love them or hate them. But I'm getting that a lot with you. Okay. Let me see if she can give us any insights as to your writer's block. Clearly, you know to think outside of the box. She said that you got the intro, but you're in this transitionary point in the story where it just hit a brick wall. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you having an issue with the protagonist character?
Yeah, yes, and I just I'm having a hard time relating to it, and I feel terrible because this is such a nice woman, and I'm trying to fictionalize her real-life story, and for whatever reason, I'm just having a hard time connecting with it. But, yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. You're having a hard time with the protagonist character. She's saying pretend you are her. Pretend you are
okay.
her. Pretend you are her. Okay, so stop trying to write it as if you're that lady. Write it as if it's you in her circumstances, how you would react, how you would perceive things, how you would do things. And she said, and that's going to get you past this block.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I will do that.
Hey, is there something about this character that's got some type of fear of, like, the water?
There's a scene from her childhood that I have to recreate. She and her brother almost drowned when their raft, like, it came unmoored from and they started to drift out into the ocean. But she,
okay, there's your angle. That's what she's telling me is you have to bring yourself to that fear of drowning. Okay, which is not something that you have, but you have to recreate it and think of yourself as a child who doesn't know how to swim and is completely losing control, and how the water is emerging around you and beginning to cut off your breathing, and you're struggling to try to keep your head above the water. And she's explaining to me that when you get put yourself into that character's role and then that character's, you know, shoes, if you will, then you're going to then it's going to start creating a flow that you're going to be able to take it from there. Because the problem is you're writing it from a third-party perspective, and you need to start writing it from a first-person perspective. So that's the message.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. That really helped.
Oh, you are most welcome. Many blessings.
Okay, you too. Thank you, DC, and everyone.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. All right, and we are going to pop down under. Hi, welcome. You're on the air. Can we get your first name?
Is Jessica calling in here? Yeah. Hi, ladies. How are you going?
Jessica.
Thank you for taking my call.
You have a question for Angel Mark?
Yeah, what a wonderful show, Mark. Thanks for sharing all your experience, Mark. My question would be, I've been having lower back pain lately, and maybe it's showing the stress from finance issues. Would you have any message for my ancestor?
Hold on, Jessica. I can barely understand what you're saying. It's like you're the call's breaking up. DC and Shannon, are you getting that too?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I can't even understand what you're saying. All I heard was back pain. So what it is, it's not you, it's the phone line. I don't know if you're talking over a computer phone or something like that, but it's like that. And so unless I can get a clear connection, it's going to be very difficult. So try asking again. Let me see if it's going to come through clear.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Somewhat better, yes.
Maybe I just got to move around the house to get a better reception. Can you hear me clearly? So, yeah, it's just back pain, and I've been a bit stressed about finance issue. So I'm just wondering, is there something to do with the ancestral lineage, or is it, is there anything I can do?
All right, so you're asking me if your back pain is due to your ancestral lineage?
Yeah, get to do something with finance issue, or is it just a physical thing and we just go?
Well, stressing about finance issues can cause back pain because a lot of people manifest their stress physically in their low back. And so if you're getting things like in your mid to lower thoracic into your low back, low spine, where it connects into your hips, that would be perfectly natural, okay? So, yeah, it's like yes to both, okay? So the financial stress is causing physical stress, which is resulting in physical pain.
Cool. So does it have any connection with my ancestor? Are they here to give me any message at all? Or
Nope, I'm not getting anything from them.
Okay, cool. So I guess that's it then. I'm just wondering if there's any guidance for me on this financial issue, that's all.
Well, no, they're not giving me any messages, so unfortunately I can't transmit that to you.
Oh, good. Thanks so much, Mark.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks for calling
Jessica. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah,
and
what
DC
happens is when we
question.
when we have a really poor phone issue, phone quality, what people have to realize is that spirits are electromagnetic energy, and that's how the phone call works as well. So if we have a lot of distortion, sound quality issues, it denigrates the connection with the other side. So that's why it was very, very difficult trying to do that. So people are calling in. It's best to be calling on a landline or a really strong connection with minimal interference. Otherwise, everything's garbled.
So true. So true. DC?
Yes. You know, Mark, Mark, while we have you here, can I just ask, we had a co-host, his name was Ryan, and he, you know, he transitioned last May, and I was just wondering, you know, does he have a message for us?
Hold on, let me see if the guy that's coming through is him. Was he putting on a lot of weight toward the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reason is because I'm feeling a guy that feels like he was overweight, and I'm also feeling like my left ventricle is about to explode. So it feels to me that he was having severe cardiac issues, and the weird thing is I'm getting this tingling on my tongue, which is an indicator that there was also some convulsions and neurological issues as well. Does any of that resonate with you?
DC?
Shannon, what do you think? I'm not sure, like, about the convulsions, but I do feel like he was having some heart issues, yes.
Yeah, what was the diagnosis on his cause of death? I'm going to see if we got that.
Diabetic coma?
Yes.
Okay,
coma. Yeah, he collapsed from a diabetic coma and was declared brain dead.
Well, there's the convulsion. Okay, there's the
mm-hmm.
convulsion and brain damage is neurological component because
mm-hmm.
Different physical conditions have a similar sensation. So, yeah, we got Ryan here. Okay, he is telling me that he actually kind of knew that the end was coming for him, and he was actually looking forward to it. He's telling me that what had happened is he felt like he was a prisoner in his own body, and that every time he was moving, he felt like he was walking around with chunks of cement all over him. So for him, transitioning to the other side was a welcome relief, is what he wants you to know. Let's see what else he's hold on.
He did. He left behind two beautiful girls, young teenagers. I'm just wondering if you could possibly get a message for his beautiful daughters.
Hold on. Well, he doesn't want them to think that that he abandoned them. When he says that death was a welcome relief, what he's telling me is that he felt so miserable physically. In other words, he loved his daughters very much, all right? But he was so miserable physically, and he also knew that nothing was working, nothing was helping, and that his whole body, the whole system was declining. What he wants his daughters to do is to honor him by keeping in the best physical condition possible. He wants them to make sure that they get checked for diabetes regularly. He wants them to get away from the high fructose corn syrup, the artificial sweeteners, and all the junk food. He doesn't want them to be like obsessive or anorexic about anything. But what he's saying is that this is a hereditary condition. They need to be very much aware of it. He also wants them to embrace a fiscally conservative financial status. In other words, control your spending. He's real big about them controlling their spending. He doesn't want them doing like frivolous things with money and to stay very, very focused on career objectives. It's interesting because one of them feels like she's like the more logical, almost scientific one that has an interest in the medical field. And the other one, I get this whole creative, yet creative in the administrative. That's weird, creative and administrative. maybe that means, well, you know, people think, well, how could that be? I mean, think about art museums. I mean, it is a business, okay?
Yeah.
So you have a lot of creative people there. We need somebody running the place so it doesn't, you know, go topsy-turvy. But I'm getting, like, one of the daughters more creative, and the other one's, like, more scientific, almost medical. And what's fascinating about both of them is they've, and this is him saying that to his daughters, they've got really good heads on their shoulders, and that they have a tremendous amount of potential, and that they have to keep their focus set on their careers.
Awesome.
And he keeps giving me the number 27, 27, 27, 27. Now, that could be the 27th of any month. That could be the number 27. That could be the 2nd of any month, the 7th of any month. It could be the number 27, or it could also be the number 72. But to me, it looks like 27 keeps getting repeated.
Okay, wow.
Beautiful.
Well, the thing about numbers is they can be an age, date, time frame, address, or grouping. So with numbers, it's always good to keep those, make a note of it, because it's going to start making sense at some point. But, boy, he keeps hammering me with 27, 27, 27.
Wow. That was awesome. Thank you. They're going to really appreciate it. Beautiful message.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly, they lost their dad, and he knows how devastated they are. But he also wants them to know that he was beginning to feel, not beginning to feel, for some time he felt like a prisoner in his own body, because there was a lot going wrong with him. And he also is admitting to me that he wasn't exactly the best patient. In other words, he wasn't following doctor's advice. You're laughing. Why is that funny?
Because I know Ryan very well, and yes, he struggled with following some of the doctor's advice.
Well, you know,
it's one of those things. Sometimes we do that, and you know, even doing. And Ryan was a very talented healer. He was an engineer by profession, and he did healing on the side. And, you know, we all talk about how our self-care is so necessary in doing this work. And it's that challenge, you know, of we give so much in service that sometimes we're the worst patients, just like a doctor is usually a bad patient for his doctor and nurses. You know? So
well, yeah,
with
that old expression, the cobbler's children have no shoes. You know, I mean,
yes.
It's like, yeah, you know, doctors are the worst patient because they're taking care of everybody else. And it always cracks me up when I see doctors that are smoking. It's like, really? I mean, if anyone should know the dangers of smoking. And you know, I've been around smokers my whole life. When I was a teenager, I tried to be cool. I was going to smoke, okay? And I guess my spirit guides, my physiology being what it is, every time I tried to smoke, I wanted to heave my cookies. And it's like, so that was like such a great motivator not to smoke. And now I'm glad because so many of my friends from high school, I run into them and they look, I mean, they're sick and they've got respiratory problems and all that. You know, it's a very, very dangerous, habit. Vaping is not a safe alternative, you know, but people like the nicotine high, so they do it.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Very true.
And Ryan is just saying, you know what, he likes that you're a straight shooter, Mark, and that you call a spade a spade. So he's,
he
enjoyed the show. He loved listening to you. Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So before we let you go, where can our listeners find your books? And is there a third one coming out?
Yes, third one is I just finished the manuscript, and I'm going to be talking to my literary agent about that shortly. If people want to find out about, I'm going to be in Palm Beach this Saturday, March 7th. I'll be in Burbank, California. Saturday, March 21st, please go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com. You can sign up for my newsletter. That way you can find out where I'm going to be, when I'm going to be, what I'm doing. Also, you can order my books. They have the links directly to Amazon there. Both Evidence of Eternity and Never Letting Go are now audiobooks as well. And my website is evidenceofeternity.com.
Beautiful.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you so much.
That's been a real pleasure being on the show. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a great honor.
Yes,
well, it was
for
truly
us
our
too.
Honor.
We so much appreciate it.
Yes. And we'll be, you know, following you and everything that you're doing. And hopefully maybe after your next book is out, you may, you know, come back and connect with us again, I hope.
Sounds like fun. Sounds like a plan to me.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much. And I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in and ask you to keep tuning in. to Sacred Embers. God bless both of you, DC and Shannon, for the work that you do.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
Light
you
and
so
love, Mark.
Much, Mark.
And thank you.
Good night, Mark.
Good night.
Good night, Mark. Wow, Shannon, this was truly incredible. My goodness, the energy is just, it's bouncing off the walls, and it's like, oh, my goodness.
Yes, it is. It is. So I'll reiterate that information to find Mark at www.evidenceofeternity.com. And you can scope out his books, Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity. And definitely scope out his 2020 Visionary Tour. He is going coast to coast this year, guys. You can get all the updates on his website. But in March 7th, 7 p.m. at United Metaphysical Church of the Palm Beaches in Lake Worth, Florida. And then on March 21st at 7 p.m. at the Marriott Los Angeles Burbank Airport in Burbank, California. Definitely scope them out. And we are so thrilled Mark got to join us tonight. And we do have a few more minutes. So, DC, you want to take a couple of callers while we have a few more minutes on air?
Oh, definitely.
All right. And we so appreciate our listeners for joining us tonight. We had quite a lineup listening in, and it's awesome. So thankful.
Oh, definitely.
We're going to hit 203. Hi, 203. You're on the air. You got a question for DC and I tonight. And what's your first name, hon? Hello? Hello? Okay. Then we will pop down here to 510. Hi, 510.
Hi,
you're on the air. Can we get your first name?
Hi,
and where
there.
You're calling from?
Yes, this is Leanne. I'm in Houston, or actually in Spring, Texas. And what a call. First of all, thank you. I'm still just feeling everything. I'm kind of vibrating myself, going, whoa. I can't speak. I don't think I need to speak. I really just, my thing was to be present with everybody and just, I guess, right when I'm getting the call, so I might as well say something. Like, my question would be around, I don't know, I'm feeling a lot of presence around me, and that's not new, but there's also, I'm realizing this year is the anniversary date of 3 deaths that came right in a row from last year. So in this coming week, is actually another significant anniversary, the first year of my Uncle Joe's passing. And there have been more butterflies. There's also been, it's ironic that woman talked about back pain. Mine had actually appeared again, and I was like, And then I remembered, actually, all the things that occurred last year, and I sort of got in touch with some of those answers. But when I go in nature, it's like there's somebody I could feel. I turn back, and I feel somebody there. And then there's been other times, even in the house, where I'll just turn my head because there's like, I've always felt, you know, different energies. There's been death around me for a long time, and I know it's not over when we go. But I guess I'm just asking for whatever comes through with what I'm sharing with you and what I'm not sharing with you. If there's anything connected with my Uncle Joe, it feels like there is. But anybody else as well, what I'm supposed to hear or receive. I'm sorry that it's not coming through. With words.
Well, you look
it's just not.
Yeah, I'm in the Italian deli there, and I'm smelling all this good food, and it's your uncle. And now he takes me to the deli, and I'm like, my tongue is hanging out of my mouth right now. It's like, oh my gosh. And he's talking about, you know, like a favorite meal. Is there a favorite meal that you know that he really loved? Because he's saying, you know, food is such a great way to ground Leanne, you know?
and I'm on Instagram, day 14. I can't do it yet.
Well, he wants to have hilarious. He's saying, nope, it has to be a warm meal. It's not going to be this awesome.
No,
it's going to be a warm
meal. He'd be like, I'm not doing that. Exactly.
And he's got his fork up in the air, and he's raising a glass like a wine. He's making a toast to you, but he's waiting for that hot meal, you know?
Okay, so he's got to wait 26 more days.
Oh, my God.
I can give it to you.
She's one of the most determined people that I've ever known. She's got so much energy. She knows really, where to put it. But he said, you know what, but lately, you've had trouble channeling that energy to really where it needs to go. You know,
mm-hmm.
And he's saying you're a little bit out of focus. And he's saying you're upset a bit as well.
Yeah, I've been, well,
you know?
Hello, they've all been popping up. Yeah. That's
he's sort of saying, like the creative energy. There's something like stopping the creative energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's saying, but you've got, what it takes. She's got an iron constitution, and she can get through anything.
That's funny. That sounds.
And
like
she's saying,
that's how he would.
You know how to do this, Leanne. You know, and that he's saying, I'm really proud of her because that's really rare. You know. So. And he's just saying, you're filled with adventure. You're very creative. And he's saying sometimes you try a little bit too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You don't have to try.
And he's saying, talk about intelligence. That's Leanne, you know. So he's really like he's one of your cheerleaders, like you on. And
he did that when
he's
he was
saying,
alive.
She does know
how
to
critic,
help.
But he was a great cheerleader. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's saying she knows
he's acknowledging
how
what I'm doing. Okay. Yeah. Because this has been a big step. It took me a year and a half to come back to this, and it's definitely making a difference. It's opening me back up.
Oh my goodness. He's saying you do know how to stay healthy and everything, but he's still waiting for that hot meal. He's not sitting
no,
at the
I'll
table
do,
while
I'll
you're
make
eating
up for
rabbit.
It. Tell him I'll make up for it. I'm eating rabbit food, but I'll make up for it. Trust me.
And he's talking about a massage, Leanne. You do need a massage.
Oh wow. Okay, this is interesting because I just canceled.
Because my neck is hurting right now. Like as I'm talking to you, like my neck hurts and going down my back, it hurts. When's the last
so
time
I
you had a
it
massage?
So I had with the person that I. Just 2 weeks ago, but I ended up in really bad pain after, so I just pushed her off
for
a couple weeks. So go ahead and do it. Okay.
Yeah.
With her?
Yeah, you definitely
need
a...
With her or someone new?
You need a... Okay. Let's see.
Okay. Is he saying with the same person? She was great.
He's saying, yeah, I mean, you could.
Okay.
You know?
Or new.
But he's saying you definitely...
Okay.
He's saying, maybe is there a different kind of massage that you were thinking about? He's saying she's okay, but he wants you to try something a little different. So is there anything different in regard to massage? He wants you to try something.
Would be the whole thing. My thing is someone different.
Yeah, but he wants someone that's going to tune into you a little bit more.
That's exactly why I didn't, this is an opportunity to say bye with peace. Okay. Okay, there we go. So that's what I felt like I didn't have.
Okay, so that's
good soul. That's
what I have, and he's going back. He's next in line at the deli, so he's leaving us right now. So I'm going to turn you over to Shannon.
How can I follow the deli? Oh, my God.
And he would, that is what he would do. He would be like, "Okay, I'm off now. I'm doing what I'm doing now. Bye. I gotta go." That is what he would do. He'd be very much with you, but when it was like food time or things, this is a very thin, fit person all his life, and so yeah. And at the end, he couldn't eat the things that he wanted because he had heart things. So it's kind of ironic that now he gets all the salt he wants and. Oh, Lord. Okay. And he loved chocolate. So I'm just... and him and my nanu, which is on my mom's side, they both keep coming through the deli with DC. So it's kind of interesting.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. So on the massage, for one thing, I was being shown right away that you have high lactic acid going on. In your muscle tissue.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. So that explains. Thank you. So I can get rid of that.
Yeah,
okay.
That will increase. You had a deep tissue massage.
Yeah. Yeah, which she almost on top of. Yeah, on top of what she. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she wasn't
and,
the right person to do it, and it was. Yeah.
No. Yeah, no, she's not skilled enough in that format yet for what you need.
No, and the energy wasn't there. It wasn't the right. I mean, she's been doing it 19
right.
years, but the connection, that psychic connection, spiritual connection, it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Kind woman,
someone,
a new area.
No. So I do hear to cut back on any refined sugars.
I don't do any. I really don't.
Do
so
any.
What do I do? I do none.
You
no.
Have lactic acid.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I don't.
Let me ask a little more about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't done any, and you don't know how long.
Okay. here's what I'm hearing. Okay. So. Besides a regular massage, I'm being shown lymph drainage. Get some
which
lymph
drainage. Which is what I used to
done.
Do, and it was one of the best. All right, perfect. I've got referrals
yes.
for that
you're
from California.
You're needing some lymph drainage
here.
Done because you've got
that's
a clog.
Been my
you've
best
got a couple
friend.
Clogs going on.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm very
and it's not so much.
That, and it worked
I had
for
them
me.
Refine that answer, and they're telling me it's not so much what you're intaking; it's that your lymph system is slowing. It's slow right now.
Okay, so it needs to be
so,
cleared with the clogs.
Yeah,
okay.
It needs to be
okay.
cleared. It's clogged and sluggish, and that's why you're getting
okay.
so much lactic acid buildup. Okay.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That answers.
Yeah.
That's huge. Okay, because I'm like, what the hell is going on? Okay.
Yeah, because it's affecting other body systems.
Yeah, and I'm doing, you know, the whole herbal, I'm doing something that does, it's supporting it, but it must need somewhere else to go, and it needs help. Now I need help to get this out of
yes. me.
I probably
yes.
have woke it all up, too. Okay, okay,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, yeah, so I've got
yeah.
a process that's not finishing because I have it's not leaving. Okay, it needs help. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely look for someone specialized in lymph drainage for that. And then
yep.
they show
okay.
me, you know, the change of massage therapist. I see someone that's a Reiki master as well.
Oh, you're in my
own head,
because that's what my
tissue.
Last one. Oh, God, my last lymph drainage,
yeah.
I almost said it, but I didn't say it to you, was a Reiki master with that, so I had that. So now with deep tissue, okay, that's the person I need. That's a total fit.
Yeah.
Reiki.
Yeah. And you can
oh,
look
wow.
on the AMTA for someone in your area that is certified and specialized in
Reiki.
That. That's what I used to do.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's what I used
AMTA?
To do in my massage career. Yeah. AMTA, you can find someone. The other thing I have for you is that while your uncle was with DC, I kept getting like a younger person. I feel like he's male, but he keeps showing me chipmunks. And first I was seeing little, the animal chipmunks, and then I'm seeing Alvin and the chipmunks.
Oh my
like,
goodness.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
I have a baby cousin. Well, I always called him a baby cousin. He was 17 when he passed, his name, baby Dominic. And
okay.
then the other, I don't know if that's him. He came through, actually, my mom went to a medium in Sacramento a few weeks ago, and he actually, she wanted all these other people, and he's the one who came through to thank her. So I don't know if that might be him. The other person that passed was my other mm-hmm. Uncle Tommy. But he wasn't young. He was 65, so he was young technically.
Yeah, this is young. He's young. he's
yeah,
young.
Dominic is 17.
Because he's
yeah.
fun. He's like showing me
yeah,
a guitar.
And he,
and
oh, wow.
he keeps talking about chipmunks.
I'm writing him down, like you said, just see what this makes sense. You know?
Yeah, he keeps bringing up these little chipmunks, and he keeps going... switching between Alvin and the chipmunks and a real chipmunk. Let me look what chipmunk has real quick here.
You know what chipmunk?
He's being
oh,
so funny about
it's
it.
chipmunks are a metaphor for your spiritual guides, and they're waiting to help you, okay?
Mm.
They want to have, like, a really good conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here.
They're also
very
sociable. I'm just looking. They bring the message as well of playfulness, doing rather than watching, being active in life. They show the timing and balance of activity and the art of hibernating. Mm. So he's really bringing up about this chipmunk for you.
Oh, it's good. It's actually really good. Like I said, I'm on a quest right now, so something happened. So this is really, wow. Okay.
And did he play guitar or have an interest in guitar?
I'm not sure. He might have. I really don't know, and that's why I wrote it down.
Because he's not showing me an electric guitar. He's showing me an acoustic guitar. Yes.
Of which there's four of them in our house.
Yeah.
And my husband in his later years now has decided to learn. So it's sort of funny because I'm like, okay. But I have to find acoustic guitar.
Okay, so he's acknowledging spending time with when the guitars are being played. He gets his acoustic guitar out too. Because he keeps showing me. And it's funny because he puts on a cowboy hat and dips his head down. And he's like, I'm just sitting jamming. I jam with everybody else.
Oh, you know, I got the chills. I got the chills because his anniversary of his passing was recently, too. So what am I thinking? Everybody's anniversary, it just wasn't a year. His was longer. His was longer. I guess my brain doesn't want to work.
Yeah,
that's why. So he keeps coming up.
So
this is interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's acknowledging the guitar playing, and he comes for the jam sessions.
And he's here often then.
Yes, he loves it.
Wow.
He loves it because you guys laugh and you have fun. And that makes it a whole lot better for spirit to come and interact. When we're remembering them with joy and laughter and fun times, they all love to come and gather around us. So he definitely wants you guys to know that he comes and joins in these jam sessions. He is not missing a thing. And he's going to be sending you some chipmunks this summer. So when you go on your walks out in nature, keep your eyes out.
Yes, which is a daily thing, so this will be pretty fun. You know what's funny, though, is oftentimes, but when at the last house I lived in, so this is kind of interesting because his dad, the chipmunks live at the house that I moved from in California, lots of them. It was a big yard, and then on the outside, they'd always be on the walks along the way. And his brother now lives in that house, and his father's moving in soon. And there's chipmunks. I'm not kidding. They're under the deck. My dog used to go crazy wanting to kill them, and I would just look at them through the window and laugh because they weren't squirrels. They were chipmunks. They're squirrels too, but there are chipmunks, and they were very happy there. and then right behind the house where I would go on the walk, because it was like a lake, but there was also this like fielded area. They were all burrowed in the hills and things. They were low grounded, you know, dirt hills. They were all over the place on that trail. Oh wow.
Beautiful. So I would say the message is also for the
that.
Brother and the father who are seeing the chipmunks as well.
That's because what I'm thinking. I need to pass this on because it was my grandfather's home who passed, my non-New South, but he's met him now again. And so that's what I'm saying. This is actually the message I'm supposed to – wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah, because they're like all over the place, and no one would understand what I understand about them because I mean I used to sit there and watch them and laugh and they play and they're just anyway, and then now
beautiful.
So he has to do with that. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Shannon, I have to ask because her uncle's he came back for a little bit and he's whispering in my ear. He's saying some of the raw stuff that she's eating is causing inflammation.
Mm.
Does he know which things? Because I'm being really careful. Tell him, Give me some hints.
No, but I'm getting, like, just because it's a vegetable and it's a healthy vegetable doesn't mean it's healthy for you. So I'm just kidding.
Okay,
whatever
so
it is, like, he's saying raw.
I'm
like,
not
good for her.
Is carrot one of them? Because my gut says no carrot. And
You're having the neck and back and shoulder pain, because my neck and back right now are really bad.
Well, right,
it's just like, so
I'm releasing it.
Like,
it's apparently all connected to the.
You know what? You might be on certain medications, but I was hearing the word guaifenesin, and I'm not sure. It could interact with something that you may be taking, but it is good for spasm, muscle relaxation, pain, and to get rid of some of that lactic acid as well.
What is guaifenesin? What is it? Guaifenesin?
Well, guaifenesin is mucus. It's for mucus, to get rid of mucus, but it gets rid of the lactic acid, and it helps with muscle spasms and back pain.
That's from the whiplash. Yeah, there we go. Okay. I never told you about that, so that's why it's probably you're feeling this stuff is like all the injury stuff has decided to wake up. It's a trip.
Yeah, there's no serious like adverse reactions with the guaifenesin, but you do have to watch like your diet. Like there's certain things that you're not supposed to eat with guaifenesin as well.
Okay, so I just need to look that up. Okay, I'm making a note.
Yeah, but that's one of the things that's really inexpensive. It's relatively cheap, and it does have a lot of, good effects when you take it, where it's almost like
a
muscle relaxer.
Should I get it from the – I have a compound pharmacist. Should I just have them do it so it's clean and I don't worry about any effects of any junk?
It's over the counter.
And there's no crap in it? I don't have to worry about that?
No, there's no crap in it. It says it doesn't interfere with anything, like, that you do take.
Okay. No, I'm on hardly anything now, so that it's more of a sensitivity for me, so you don't see it.
Do you think that guaifenesin would help her? Because her uncle kept saying guaifenesin.
Yeah. I would look into it, though. I would double check because she does have a lot of high sensitivities to any kind of filler. It's the only thing that I am picking up. There might be a filler. So I would double check.
And I can get it made clean. I can get it made very easily from a compound pharmacist that I've got. So it would be easy to do. Because fillers,
So I would just check out. Okay. That's the only caution that I'm picking up, is that there might be a filler you're sensitive to.
Is anyone getting the vegetable? Am I right that I'm not supposed to have carrots because my gut says no carrots?
Well, go with your gut. I mean, I definitely go
and
with your gut.
And I'm getting that I don't need tomato either, which I've not been doing a lot of.
Right.
Tomato is
a nightshade plant, and if you have issues with inflammation and with lactic acid, then you avoid nightshades, which are like eggplant and tomatoes.
Turnips. So I've been eating turnips. So turnips are probably a problem. Okay, that's a new one that I hadn't been eating.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I just got another hit. There you go, nightshades will help me.
Yeah. Nightshades.
My avocado is fine, right? Tell me, please, my avocado is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, avocado.
I feel very
happy
with my one avocado a day.
Yeah,
I love my avocado.
That's
important to do
this.
Okay, so it's really nightshade.
Yeah.
Okay, that helps.
And I'm just getting make sure you're taking antioxidants because they help to oxidize stress.
Okay, and I just added my vitamin D is at 10,000.
Okay, and I was getting like vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E, calcium, magnesium, zinc, selenium.
Okay, hold on. I've got an oxygen thing that has the magnesium. I'm writing them down. I know what I don't have, and I'm not taking
selenium.
The calcium that I'm supposed to, which is sitting in there. Selenium, yep. Okay, hold on. I'm not taking that. I'm not taking my A. I'm not taking my C. I need to add that. I'll just get the clean powdered form, so that's all I need to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And these are things, and I have
on
the calcium
C,
one.
On vitamin C, I'm hearing for you, you'd be better off with Camu.
Okay, Camu.
C-A-M-U. Sometimes
yep,
it's Camu.
Okay.
But it's a higher form of vitamin C. And
yep,
for people
and that
their bodies have a hard time absorbing vitamin C through foods and supplements,
mm-hmm.
Camu
mm-hmm.
It has a better absorption rate.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so I wrote that down. And I've got the the calcium one. I have the magnesium. I have that in the ones that I can. I have it, and I haven't been taking that. I've only been doing my D. So how about quercetin? I felt like I was supposed to bring that back in. But I didn't do it yet. Might as well tell on myself since we're on it.
I didn't get a yes as of now. I would hold off on that one.
Okay.
And Leanne,
yeah.
Why are you waiting? Like, your uncle is saying, like, why is she waiting so long before she has cooked vegetables? He's saying, you know, have like a raw vegetable meal once a day, but start incorporating the cooked vegetables.
Oh, like a soup, like a broth, make myself a little broth kind of thing?
Well, to like cooking, he's saying cooking the vegetables in their own juice.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I had mentioned to you once before about, I think it's called Patiper paper. It basically seals in the vitamins and the minerals in the vegetables.
And I have
And
it.
I know
I
like
it.
If you eat, okay, so the cooked vegetables are going to be more easily digestible. You can
mm-hmm.
do one meal with raw, like a salad or something, and then he's saying like the cooked vegetables.
So like dinner, I can make it be like zucchini and stuff in the paper.
Yeah.
And put
onions
really, or
something
in
that.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So start incorporating the cooked vegetables back into the.
What if I dehydrate to 110 degrees? Is that good enough so I could stick with this or no? Because there's an herbal component. And that's why, but. Just tell me. I'll listen. And I'm not trying to be stubborn. I'm just asking because I just pulled the dehydrator out last night and learned how to do something. And it's
he's laughing. He's laughing at you, you know, as a snack or something, he's saying. But but he's saying, why? What's so hard about the cooked vegetables and the Patiper paper? He's like, he's showing me the paper and he's saying, what's wrong?
I've
why can't you just...
Well, I call it parchment paper, but it's the same thing. I've got it. Okay, fine. All right. So one meal is all I have to do, right?
Yeah, you can have a lot of vegetables for one meal. What do you think? Start incorporating the cooked vegetables. You're going to get all the beautiful, you know, minerals and vitamins you're needing, you know?
Fine. I made day 14. Damn it. I mean, I'm having nuts and seeds and healthy fats, so it's not like I'm not starving myself. So it's not like I'm
right.
I'm really not. This is not me like just, oh, let me just be a rabbit. No, I'm really not. And I'm not only doing salad. So I just learned how to make lots of falafels in my dehydrator that don't have chickpeas. No beans, no grains. I'm proud of myself, but I was exhausted. So I'm good with the parchment paper and doing a couple, throw that in, boom. Cook up.
Awesome.
Me. I know he's laughing, but hell.
Laughing. Good time watching. Thank goodness.
He's like, what is she doing now? It's like, yeah, well, you have the lactic acid and inflammation that doesn't make sense, so therefore you need to do something. So this is what I did. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So he's saying, you know what, some nuts are acid forming.
Yeah.
So watch the nuts even, you know, be careful.
Yep. That's why, just so you know, that is why I don't just do a lot of those because of there's always a hit of
Yeah.
I think raw pistachios tend to be a good one with me, but I don't. The almonds have so much crap in them that I just kind of veer away from it.
Almonds definitely, yeah.
Yeah, the other day I grabbed them and I went, uh-uh, and I threw them away. I literally was like, not for me, so.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
like
just, you know, you're doing a great job.
Brazil nuts are a good nut.
There, I was just, that's one of my favorite ones, and I just ran out, so there you go. Brazil tends to be a good friend, yeah. yeah. five of those does a good moment. It does. I mean, it really does. And I do add Himalayan salt to it. You know, I don't just, like I said, I don't just sit here not, you know.
Yeah.
So this is, okay, this is yeah. nothing. I guess I really have, I will feed up on meat. Okay, the
yeah,
chipmunk thing will be fun.
The nuts, that, any nuts that you like and stuff, he's saying, but it's just like the quantity. It's, you know, like, don't put, you know, don't have like too much.
Right. Yeah. No, that's okay. He's just affirming what.
Yeah, he's saying, you know,
yeah.
You know, the nuts are good for you. They are. Even almonds. He's
I
saying
do
they're
a couple,
alkaline,
but
yeah, see how you feel, you know? I mean, I'd start keeping a food diary because they're supposed to be good for you doesn't mean they're good for you specifically.
They're good for me, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
You've got to see what works for you because almonds, like, are alkaline, but it doesn't mean that they're going to make you feel good. You know, almonds,
yeah,
chestnuts, coconut,
feel like they're right.
Those are alkaline, and others are acid-forming, but he's saying, like, watch the quantity of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's, okay. So, but even my idea of quantity and what might be sensitive to me might be different. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So
the Brazil
would,
nuts,
you know,
I never have a problem
pretty
with.
Different
Brazil
things at once, Leanne.
Okay.
Yeah, start put a couple of things and have a food diary and just see how you feel. Because
okay.
if you eat too many different things and you're all over the place, you're not going to know what's good for you and what's not good for you.
Right, and I've been through this with that whole, you know, condition thing, right? So now just because I think I can
yeah.
have variety, I need to be careful. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And he's just saying, just watch, you know. But you're doing a great job. Be very proud of yourself. You're doing great, hon.
And lemon is okay, right? I'm doing, lemon seems to be a good friend. Is that okay?
Yes.
Right, because it feels like it's been good for me. Okay. I need the lymph
yeah.
drain.
And in moderation. Everything in moderation.
Okay. Everything. Okay, so balance it out and do my writing and add my one cooked meal.
Okay, so just don't have too many things like a day or a couple days because sometimes it does take a couple days before you have like a reaction. So you're not going to know
right.
what you're eating, you know? So keep it a little bit simple.
Right. Okay.
And then slowly add things, you know, to just slowly add.
Mm-hmm. And then kind of have a consistency too, right, as I, the foundation of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'm on a roll, so that it won't be that hard to do because it'll make it easier. So I'll take ease. That's been the whole my point. I want something to be simple. Okay.
Well, I hope.
Deli. Yeah. Well,
has me. Like I said, all I can think about is deli food. Oh goodness.
Yeah, and that's just what I need right now. I'm like, thank you so much. I was saying this isn't deprivation. I'm learning my new ways to make different recipes. Going, my husband's looking at me like, oh yeah, huh? Just great.
He has his fork in his hand, so he's saying it'll be sooner than you think. And it's going to be sooner than you think. Told him that fork.
Well, the truth is I don't have to do it 26 more days. I'd make it if I did it 6 more days and I could take a pause. So, but I still have to transition to the warm food, you know, I will have a problem. So he's right. All of this is right on time. He may have
awesome.
Just kept this a little shorter. All right. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you both.
Good you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you for calling
Talk
in.
About a prescription. Thank you. I'm just giggling because I know he's thinking, oh, yeah, here she goes again. Oh, man. I'm just wanting to say that I need my Reiki and I need this lactic acid. I don't like that. It needs to move. I think I might have created
yeah.
it, too, with what I'm doing. I mean, not on purpose, but.
Yeah, it's very possible.
You know, by doing this, and if it doesn't have anywhere to escape, I mean, there's certain elimination channels, but then obviously everything's not going. And I'm not in a sauna, so I'm not sweating anything out. What about Epsom bath before I hang up? If I do Epsom, will that those kind of things help me?
Yes.
I haven't done it yet.
Yes.
Okay, I'm doing it tonight.
Yeah,
to do
those
okay.
will help to do, to help pull out any kind of toxicity.
Okay.
Steam baths. Those kinds kinds of things. It will help.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. I'm sorry for holding the call. Well, thank you for taking the call.
No problem. Thank you for calling in.
Have a great night, Leanne.
Thank you. Thank you both. Me too. Bye-bye.
Have a great evening.
All right, DC, we are 10 minutes over our time this evening. We have had a fabulous show. You want to go ahead and tell everybody how to find you? I can remember.
You know what?
Name.
I know, right? I'm on Facebook a lot, so one of the easiest ways is to connect with me on Facebook. Just look for DC Love, and I'm there with my dog, Ginger. You'll see the two of us. You can't miss us, and we both have sunglasses on. So Facebook is probably, like, the easiest way to find me. Thank you, Shannon.
Awesome. And you can find me also on Facebook at Shannon Johnson, Metaphysical Facilitator /Medium. I also have a website, and scope out the YouTube channel. There's some guided meditations there to utilize to connect with your own spirit team or to connect with some past loved ones. And you can find all of the Sacred Embers team members, our healers, mediums, psychics, all on our website at sacredembersshow.wixsite.com/love. We're also available on Facebook. Come and join the Sacred Embers group. You got like-minded people. You can share about your spiritual journey, ask questions. The team members are there as well to help provide guidance to you and your loved ones if you have some questions for us there. And we're here Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays on Blog Talk Radio. Monday's Magical Mystics. And on Tuesday night is The Lighthouse. On Wednesday is Divine Connections. We've been on and off air the last couple of weeks, and we do apologize to our listeners, as everybody has been experiencing issues with cold, flu, and sinus problems. Your Sacred Embers team has also been dealing with this fun, loving stuff, too. But we will all be back on air this March with fabulous shows, great discussion topics, and doing free readings for our callers and listeners. Thank you so much, everyone. And my last little bit to add, huge shout-out thank you to Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, for joining us tonight. Fabulous interview. Please scope out his website, join his newsletter, and you can find him at evidenceofeternity.com. And he's got these two big events, March 7th and March 21st. Scope them out, join the newsletter, or pick up his book. Thank you so much, guys. It's been a fabulous night. Thank you, DC. It's been wonderful.
Oh, you as well, Shannon. Thank you. And again, another shout out to Mark. Thank you, Mark. And we look forward to following you and hopefully having you back on again. Night, everyone. Take care, Shannon.
You too, DC. Good night.
Night.